If you have your Bible with you this morning, turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to look the next 2 weeks as we dawn on and approach the new year. We're going to look at the theme of keeping the heart. Keeping the heart from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 and 27. And so we're going to look this morning at part one of keeping the heart. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28 says this: a man without self-control is like a city broken into and left without walls. This is a really powerful metaphor for the importance of defenses. The wall, we don't really see this so much now, but in antiquity, most cities had a very high wall all the way around the circumference of the city. That wall served as that city's first line and arguably its most important line of defense. In order for an enemy to be able to besiege that city, it would have to find a way to either scale over or penetrate that wall. All the while trying to penetrate that wall or scale over that wall, you have an enemy atop the wall who's able to essentially shoot freely. In that time, probably with arrows more so than with bullets. But you understand where I'm coming from. And so not only did cities have a wall around them as a first and important line of defense, atop the wall and on the ramparts and in the watchtowers were the watchmen. And those watchmen, those sentries, had a very important duty. And their duty was to keep a weather eye outward, and from their high station, they would be able to see an enemy approaching from a great distance, giving them ample time to warn their fellow countrymen of the approaching threat, giving ample time for their fellow countrymen to prepare for battle and to prepare for war. Over the course of the next 2 weeks, beloved, I want us to think deeply about this picture. Because our hearts are much like a city that needs defending. The first line of defense for the heart, according to Proverbs 25, as I read in verse 28, is self-control. And as we approach this new year, I want us to take time and to really think about our hearts. And I want us to think long and hard about how we can keep our hearts and guard our hearts against the enemies that would seek to besiege us. Because the reality is there are many. There are many enemies that would seek to besiege and captivate our minds and to steal our hearts to ungodly passions and desires. And so today what I want us to focus on is what exactly is the heart? When the Bible says to keep the heart, what is the heart and why is it so important that we guard and keep our hearts? And the main point that I want you to remember this morning, if you leave here remembering just one thing, I want you to remember this one main point. All conduct, seen and unseen, flows from the heart. Therefore, we must guard and keep our hearts with all vigilance. All conduct, everything that you do, think, say, act upon, flows from your heart. Every aspect of human life is a reflection of what is in the heart. Therefore, we must keep and guard our hearts with all vigilance. Let's read together from Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 20. And we're really only going to focus this morning on verse 23. My son, be attentive to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight, keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be sure. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Turn your foot away from evil. All conduct, seen and unseen, flows from the heart. Therefore, we must guard and keep our hearts with all vigilance. We're going to ask and answer two questions this morning. The first question that we're going to ask and answer is simply this: what is the heart? When Solomon writes to his son and he says, "My son, keep your heart with all vigilance," what is he talking about? Well, let me give you a hint. He's not talking about a heart-healthy diet. He's not talking about, you know, eating less red meat, which, never mind, I won't go there. I was going to say it's arguable whether or not that it's actually heart-healthy, but whatever, that's not the point. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about the physical heart. It's important for us to take care of our bodies, but here Solomon is not talking about the physical organ. Let me offer just a very brief kind of summary answer to this before we really dig into it and pull it apart. The heart is the inner part of man from which comes all of life, thought, and conduct. The heart is the inner or the immaterial part of man from which comes all of life, thought, and conduct. The word that's often translated as heart is the Hebrew word lev, L-E-V. And it's used almost 600 times in the Old Testament. And it's used to communicate, it's used to communicate the aspect of that which gives life. So if you're curious about what does that mean, what does that look like? Think about it this way. Medical science has the capability of putting a human body together. You can piece a body together. You can put all the organs in their proper place. Medical science even has the ability to hook organs up to machines and make them work, kind of. A machine can make a heart beat. A machine can drain blood and essentially act as a kidney, giving the kidneys a semblance of functionality. Do you know what medical science can't do? Medical science can't take that body that they've pieced together and make it alive. The heart of man is what makes you alive. It's what makes you living and breathing and functioning. It's what makes you, you. Some people would refer to it as the heart or the inner or the immaterial part of man is what animates the body. It's what gives the body life. The immaterial heart is where life flows. And this part of defining the heart is picked up in the second part of verse 23. He says, keep your heart. The word heart there is the word lev. It can be defined often as the seat of emotion. It's defined as the inner man, the mind, the will, the seat of understanding, the seat of emotion, the seat of appetites, the seat of passions and courage. All of our thinking and our functionality and our pursuits and our desires live within our heart, the immaterial part of us. And this is picked up, as I said, in the second part of verse 23, when he says, keep the heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. The word life there is defined as source, the source of something, or that which is dependent upon something. And what's interesting about this particular verse, both in the first part, we'll get to this in a second, and the second part, is when he says that, keep the heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life, he's essentially saying the same thing twice when he uses the word flow and springs of life. Both of those phrases independently are defined as a source of something, as the supply of something. Well, so with that in mind, what is Solomon saying? He's saying that the heart is the source of all of life. All of life flows out of the heart. All of your thinking, all of your processing, all of your desires and your passions. The basic meaning of the words that are translated flow and springs of life can be understood as that which is the origin, that which is the source of. So every aspect of your life, every nuance of your life flows out of your heart. So let me kind of sum this idea up this way. Based on all of these words and their definition, the word for heart, which can be translated as the seat of emotion, the mind, the will, the inner man, the word flow, the springs of life, and the expression that all of life flows out of this, we learn that the heart is the material part, the immaterial part of man upon which all of life depends. This isn't necessarily part of this passage specifically, but we really need to have a good understanding of what the heart is and how crucial it is to life and godliness, because you understand that this is the part of you that has been redeemed if you have trusted in Jesus. You remember what Ezekiel says in Ezekiel 36? I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and I will give you a new heart. When Christ comes into our lives, when we believe Christ and we believe the gospel that we are sinners who have been separated from his grace and his goodness because of that sin, when we understand that we are objects of God's wrath because of sin, and we believe that Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection in our place satisfied God's wrath against our ungodliness, the transformation that takes place is that you are a completely new being, because God removed your heart of stone, the part of you, the seat of your emotions that was hostile towards God, and the seat of your passions and desires that pursued selfishness and worldliness and wickedness. And then God removed that and he gave you a new heart. He gave you new life that lasts forever by transforming you and making you new. When God saves us, he redeems our hearts. So think about it this way. The Christian life is not a normal life with just a little Jesus sprinkled in. The Christian life is not just a normal life that I'm just trying to clean up and do a little better. The Christian life is marked by complete and utter transformation, because the source of all life has been redeemed and made completely new by the blood of Christ. So your heart, beloved, if you have trusted in Jesus, has been made clean and fresh and new. God has transformed your affections and your desires. And when you understand that all of life flows from the inner man and from the inner being, we can begin on our own to see why it's so important that we keep our hearts with vigilance. So let me sum this up again. The heart is the immaterial part of man from which flows all of life, thought, and conduct. Let me put it this way. Everything you do, everything you think and say comes from and is organically connected to your heart. That is why Jesus makes the statement in the New Testament when he says, out of the abundance or the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. The heart drives everything about us and everything that we do. There's nothing that you do that doesn't have some type of heart motivation behind it. Why? Because your heart is the source. From your heart flow the springs of life, the springs of thought, the springs of intention, the springs of desire. Everything about you flows from the immaterial part of you. And when you understand it that way, you begin to see, oh, this is probably pretty important. Yes, it is. And when we put it in those terms, we begin to see why it's so important that we must guard our hearts. And so that's the second question that I want us to think about this morning. Why must we guard our hearts with such vigilance? Look at how Solomon says it. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Let me give you a short answer to this question. Why should we guard and keep our hearts with such vigilance? All of the aforementioned. Everything that I just said, over the course of the last, 10, 15 minutes? 15 minutes? All of what I just said over the last 15 minutes, that's why you should keep your heart with all vigilance. Because all of your life flows from it. Because all of your life is dependent on it. And as the heart goes, so the man goes. If your heart is chasing after worldly passions, guess what your body is going to be chasing after? Worldly passions. If your heart is given to lust, what's your body going to be given to? Lust. If your heart is given to gossip, what is your mouth going to be given to? Gossip. If your heart is given to deceit, your mouth and your life is also going to be given to deceit. I hope you're seeing the organic connection here and beginning to see why this is so important. When we get down to a deep understanding of the heart, what it is and its significance, it becomes plain as to why we should keep and guard our hearts. But let me give you a longer answer to that question. If we don't keep our hearts, we are not keeping our lives. If you don't guard your heart and keep your heart with all vigilance, you are leaving your entire life open to the besiegement of enemies. You, like described in Proverbs 25, are like one who, like a city left without a wall, completely subject to the attacks of the enemy. If we're not keeping our hearts, we're not keeping our mouths. If we're not keeping our hearts, we're not keeping our actions. If we're not keeping our hearts and our desires and our affections, then we're not keeping our bodies and we're not keeping our conduct under control. Let me put it another way, and let me put it in the positive. Do you want to be godly and live right before the Lord? That must begin in the heart. Because if you try to live a godly life without having a godly heart, you're just going to pass your days in soul-crushing legalism. Do you want to speak in a way that pleases the Lord and blesses others? Well, that begins in the heart. A heart that is filled with judgment and vindictiveness and gossip and criticism will lead to speech that is judgmental, vindictive, gossipy, and critical. But if our hearts are filled with joy and with truth and delight in the Lord and knowledge of the Lord, what is going to flow out? A delight in the Lord, a love of the Lord, a pursuing of the Lord. This first phrase in verse 23 is really helpful for us when we begin to define the terms. Keep your heart with all vigilance. That word, that first word there, that the word keep, is defined as to guard, to watch over, watchman, keep, to preserve or guard from dangers, or to blockade. Keep is defined as to guard, to watch over. It can also be defined as watchman, keep, to preserve or guard from dangers, or to blockade. Take your mind back to our opening illustration. What must the city do to adequately defend itself? It must have a wall. It must have people on top of that wall. It must have people on the ramparts and in the watchtowers with a weather eye outward to spot dangers that are coming. Let me ask you this question. What do the defenses of your heart look like? What does the wall around your heart look like? Are there watchmen in the watchtowers? Are there watchmen atop the wall? Are there watchmen on the ramparts of your heart, keeping a weather eye outward for the enemies that would seek to attack your heart and distract your heart and besiege your heart? The second part of this is essentially a reiteration of the first. When he says, keep your heart with all vigilance, the word vigilance is defined as a place of confinement, a prison, a guard, a guard post, or observance. It's basically the noun form of the verb to keep. And so the phrase kind of works like this. When Solomon says, keep your heart with all vigilance, he basically says, keep your heart with all keeping. Guard your heart with all guarding. And that doublespeak that he's using there helps create emphasis. It's helping us to see that we're not talking about just a passing issue or something that we should take lightly, but rather we're talking about something that's very, very serious. Why is it so serious? Why is it so serious that we would guard our hearts with all guarding, that we would set all of these defenses in place? Because from our hearts flow the springs of life. Because all of life and all of conduct is organically connected to our hearts. And if our hearts drift, our lives will drift. And our minds will drift. And our mouths will drift. And our actions will drift. Notice that he says with all vigilance. Not with some, not with most, but with all vigilance. Don't see this as just kind of a passing thing. Think about it this way. I mentioned that trying to live a godly life without having a godly heart leads to soul-crushing legalism. Trying to have a godly heart without a godly life is just an exercise in Christian hedonism, where all we're doing is pursuing pleasure. Where we act, and all it does is give evidence to the fact that we haven't truly embraced the transformation that God brings into our lives. Do you know that the basic crux of the concept of holiness is distinction? And when God saves us, he makes us holy. He sets us apart for something. And in him setting us apart for something, our lives should look different. And we should strive for them to be different, starting within our hearts. Beloved, there is little margin for error here. We're not talking about an issue of secondary importance. However, though there is little margin for error, this is where we must be grateful for the great margin of God's grace. Ultimately, beloved, it is God who saves. And ultimately, it is God who keeps us. While we wait for his coming, he has called us to be vigilant and watchful over our hearts because the rivers of life flow from the heart. So what is the heart? The heart is the immaterial inner part of man from which flows all of life, from which flows all of your conduct. And why should you keep it? Why should you guard it with such vigilance? Do you realize that the word vigilance, that the root word of vigilance is the word vigil? Does everybody know what the word vigil means? To sit with, to stay with, to linger with, to not leave. It's not something that you come and go from, but when you're sitting vigil, you're there. You're there for the long haul. So when we're keeping our hearts with all vigilance, we're keeping our hearts for the long haul. What is the long haul? Until Christ returns or till he calls us home, whichever comes first. It'd be great if it was this afternoon that Christ returned. How delightful would that be? But regardless of how long it takes, we are to keep vigilance. We are to keep watching, continue guarding our hearts until Christ returns or until he calls us home. Our heart is arguably the most important aspect of our being. And beloved, that is why it is so important that we guard it. That is why it is so important that we keep it with all vigilance and with all discipline. Now you may be thinking to yourself, okay, I think I'm getting my arms around this. My heart's the source of life. Therefore, I must guard and keep it with all vigilance like a city that has defense. And I must do this so as to honor and please the Lord. How do I do that? Well, that's a great question. And I'm glad that you asked it. And if you want a deep answer, you'll have to come back next Sunday. Because in part two of keeping the heart, we're going to focus on how do we do that. And Proverbs chapter 4 gives us a lot of practical wisdom in the action steps and the things that we need to do to guard and to keep our hearts. So to that question, we turn next week. But for this week, let me leave you with this challenge. Let me challenge you with this. Over the course of this next week, prayerfully read Proverbs chapter 4. As you prayerfully read Proverbs chapter 4, ask God to reveal to you all the patterns and intentions of your heart. You pray through and use Psalm 139, 23, and 24 to this end. If you're unfamiliar with Psalm 139, 23, and 24, it's the passage where David says, "Search me, O God, and know me. Know the inward thoughts of my heart." So use Psalm 139, 23, and 24 to pray to the Lord and ask the Lord to reveal and expose to you all the intentions and patterns of your heart. And as you pray, as you prayerfully read Proverbs 4, and as you pray and ask God to reveal those patterns, begin writing out what your current action plan is for keeping your heart, and examine where there might be some gaps. Begin to assess what you are doing. Begin to assess the defenses that you currently have in place to keep your heart, and examine where there might be gaps. And the more that you kind of have that action plan mapped out of where you currently are, the more helpful next Sunday will be for you. The more helpful the practical question of how do I keep my heart will be for you next week. But for now, beloved, remember this and keep it in your mind. All conduct, seen and unseen, flows from the heart. Therefore, we must guard and keep our hearts with all vigilance. Ahead of next week, let me tell you where we start. Let me kind of whet your appetite with what's the first step in keeping the heart. We start always by turning to the Lord. We start by running to the fountain that is filled with blood. Only there can all our sins be washed away. Only there are our hearts transformed to sing the praise of God's redeeming love until we die. Only there do we have the hope that one day in a nobler and sweeter song, we will sing God's power to save. So my encouragement to you this morning, beloved, is fly now to the only fountain that can transform the heart. The fountain of Christ's blood shed for you and the power of his resurrection to grant to you eternal and unending life. And by that same power, God has granted to you the ability to guard and keep your heart until he calls you home. God be praised for his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word that teaches us what the heart is and teaches us the importance of keeping the heart. And Father, I pray for each and every one in the sound of my voice that we would indeed keep our hearts with all vigilance, that we would not be distracted, that we would understand what's at stake, that we would understand that all of our life, all of our conduct, our thoughts, our words, our actions, our intentions, it's all connected to our heart that you have transformed and that you have redeemed by the power of your blood. Help us to keep our hearts with all vigilance. Help us to do so that we might honor and glorify you. And God, help us to not grow weary. When it seems as though the enemy is closing in, and when it seems the night has won, help us to remember that you sent your Son, the light of the world, to shatter the darkness, and that the darkness has already been defeated. Again, God, help us to not be distracted, and help us to be vigilant from now until you call us home. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.